look.
Xena, I'll always love you. Welcome, everyone, to Xena New Bruce Podcast, a.k.a. XNU. My name is Cass, and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 110. This podcast show is for all the Xena New Bruce septic stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So, hey there, hi there, and hello, everyone. Welcome back to XNU. I hope everyone is doing well. Me, myself, and I, and my partner, are doing fabulous, so thank you very much. The song snippet you hear this week's show is Deborah Cox, Nobody's Supposed to Be Here. And I'm going to dedicate that one first and foremost to my lovely wife. It's a song that holds a special place in our heart. And then I'm going to dedicate that out to quite a few people out there, starting off with the Naughty Little Monkey. And to other people as well, if you listen to the lyrics in the song, I suggest you get on YouTube or go out and buy the CD. It is about love lost and being alone and then finding someone when you didn't expect him to be there for you. So I hope everybody enjoys that little song snippet. In the movie review, once again, thanks to my movie wench Pam, she's gotten My Brother's War. And the synopsis is, in the Civil War drama, Grace Keeler, played by Whitney Hamilton, who also wrote and directed the film, disguises herself as a man and takes her brother's place in the Confederate Army in an effort to protect him from the horrors of war. When she meets young war widow Virginia Clasing, Dana Bennison, the two form a bond that may get complicated once Grace reveals her true identity. My Brother's War is based on Hamilton's novel, Firefly. So, hope everyone gets out there and tries to see that movie. If those of you who have seen that, please send me a review. Let me know what it's like. Those of you who haven't, go out and rent it. Okay, this week's book review is actually a book recommendation. And it's something, not really a book, I'm actually reading online. I'm going to recommend the latest story that I've been reading, which is actually quite good, and it's by someone who everybody, once I mention this, I'm sure some of you will know about it. But it's called King and Country by Z and Windstar, and you can check it over at xenofiction.net, which I will also have a link on my show notes for you. But it is actually quite good, and as everyone knows, Z and Windstar produce some very, very good stories out there. One of them, which of course we are waiting with a bated breath, is the sequel to their vampire story, but we're not going to pressure them. So check out King and Country by Zine Winston.
You snapped, haven't you?
Of course, that is the inevitable way of saying that it's time for a quote. And from my quote wench, Bobby, we all have families that we are born into, but sometimes family change and we have to build our own. For me, our friendship binds us closer than blood ever will. And that's from Xena in Ties That Bind. And we also have another quote, which she sent in, and it is a Chinese proverb that says, fall seven times, stand up eight. And I really, really wholeheartedly like that one.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Well, it's here now that I interrupt our regular programming to turn around and ask for your help. Please don't switch off now or fast forward, as this is quite important. But as everyone knows, I am running to raise money for cancer research for the Lance Armstrong Society. I am running the New York City Marathon, and I am attempting to raise $3,500 for cancer research for this disease. As everyone knows, that I personally have a vested interest in this, as my partner's family is stricken with the disease, and I have my concerns about that. But also for all the people that I know at work, as I don't know, many of you might know or might not know that I do work at a hospital, and I've come across many people who have had this disease, and it's not something that just affects them individually, but it also affects family and friends, because they go through and seeing a loved one hurting and going through painful curative measures, or if at all, watching them waste away in front of their lives. And it's something that we need to do as a society, to get together and pull around and try and raise money for this research. I mean, we raise money for all different foundations and charities and things, but, you know, stop and think for a moment. You know, it's $5. You know, you pay $3 for a cappuccino. You know, you could go without a cappuccino for one day or 2 days and send that money in. I myself, yes, Julie and I have put money into this, and it's not something that we don't fully want the support of, but we're willing to do ourselves. That's why I said that I'm doing the hard yards. I'm doing the 26.2 miles, 42K for whichever system you go by. But I'm asking everybody to go ahead and please donate to the site. I have a link on my show notes. I also have it on my blog spot. And take the time out. I mean, I know that it's almost like the, how you say, it's the 6 degrees of separation. You know someone who knows someone who knows someone. That kind of thing. And I'm sure you've come across it in your time. So I'll get off my little soapbox and get on with the show. When Do You Know? By your host and author, Cass. Chapter 25. Gabrielle finished helping Ophelia in the kitchen and went to help Nika in sorting linen and herbs for the healer's rooms. She stopped by the outside garden to look at the rose bushes, which were now merely empty spindly trunks, as their blossoms had long withered from the winter's cold. She sat quietly in reflection. How has this all happened to me? One moment I am a slave to the darkest of evil men on this land, and then in the servitude of the most beautiful woman ever to grace my eyes, and then being wooed by an Amazon warrior. Taking a deep breath. Oh, Athena, I'm so confused to what the fates have spun my life thread to do. Unconsciously, she put her fingertips to her lips. They were so soft, so full and sensually inviting. And her eyes. Oh, her eyes. They were... Oh, I could lose myself forever in them. And that shock every time we touched.
A stinking gust of wind broke her from musing.
I had better get to the healers,
she thought, rising and walking briskly towards that direction.
See? She needs to be shown something, girls. She hasn't a clue as to what's going on, or the role she plays in all of it,
Aphrodite said to Artemis and Athena, as they materialized where Gabrielle just stood.
She does have a pure heart, and is brave enough to want to protect the children, replied Athena. And she did call out to me. Yes, she deserves to be shown some of her future role in all of this. She has done everything with good intention, and has a fortitude that I see will lead my Amazons to greatness.
Artemis smiled.
Let's go talk with Murphy, and ask him another dream favor, but for her this time.
As they all nodded in agreement and shimmered away.
After evening meals had been cleared away, and most of the diners had made their way back to the quarters, Gabrielle sat with Ophelia, enjoying a hot mug of tea in the warmth of the kitchen.
Child, you're troubled. What's wrong?
Ophelia asked, in a kind motherly fashion.
Oh, Ophi, I feel so, I don't know, lost.
Gabrielle shrugged.
What's making you feel so, child?
Gabrielle took a deep breath.
One candle mark, I am a slave in a pit. Then I come here and see a different world. I ask a great favor of someone I had no right to.
Child, was it that other warrior who came looking for you?
Gabrielle nodded her head.
Yes, I asked to do something that could have cost us our very lives.
Does the Conqueror know about this?
Yes, I told her of the reason and how it seemed to be misinterpretation when she saw us. Misinterpretation? What do you mean, child?
Ophelia interrupted.
When the Conqueror had asked me about what happened in Trachis, I told her of the children. She then asked me if that was why I asked my lover to help me.
She replied, shaking her head. Ophelia sat back with a look of confusion clearly evident on her face.
You're what? She thought Effany to be my lover as she saw her trying to kiss me.
Gabriel sat, staring at her mug.
Well, is she?
Ophelia asked in a matter-of-fact tone.
No!
Gabriel snapped back angrily.
Sorry, Effie. I didn't mean to snap at you.
She lowered her head again and softened her voice.
It's just that, well, I am. I've never... Oh, Hades!
She put her head in her hands.
What is it, child?
Ophelia asked, while pulling Gabriel into a hug.
I am innocent still. I've been spared by many a master, and fortunate in that I was never touched. I'm a virgin still.
Gabriel said, a bit embarrassed at the fact.
Child, you're indeed fortunate and blessed by the gods to go through what you have, and be free to choose your first love.
Ophelia hugged her tighter.
Why is it that people presume so much of me, Ophie?
Gabriel began to cry.
Oh, don't you cry, child. It's because it's so rare of a chance for a slave girl to be spared such a treasure.
She soothed Gabriel's back with her hand.
Now, it seems to me you've had enough excitement for a while. I want you to go to bed now. And don't you dare come out of there until those bags in your eyes go to Hades himself.
Receiving a kiss to her head and a final hug, she stood up to leave.
Thank you, Ophie. Hush, child, and I will let everyone know I said for you to rest and no duties.
The next morning, Ephany went to the secluded training grounds that had been where she had trained Gabrielle, in hopes that she would show up. It had been some days since their last meeting, but she still held out hope that she might show. Queen Melosa kept Ephany busy at the Amazon encampment, with scrolls and other duties, but she still managed to get out in the morning to see if her hope was not futile. She was not afforded even to go to the palace for food or any social calls, as it seemed the queen was intent on her not going there.
She's not coming,
Queen Melosa said as she walked out from behind one of the trees and into the clearing. Ephany spun around, her hand going to the hilt of her sword in an automatic reflex.
My queen!
She said, startled. She will not be coming, Ephany, Queen Melosa continued, walking towards a boulder and sitting down.
She knows that to be shown the use of a weaponry is in direct violation of the Conqueror's law, and that it could cost you your lives.
So you know,
Ephany said in more of a statement than a question.
Yes, I have seen you come out here looking for her, and I have been duly notified by the Conqueror herself. You disappoint me, my regent. You, above all other Amazons, know that as honorable warriors, we abide by laws and their enforcement.
She looked away from her.
You chose to disregard that law.
The queen leaned forward, putting her elbows to her knees, and placed her face into her hands. Then tiredly she rubbed her temples.
What were you thinking, Eff?
That I was helping her in her wish to protect the children, if they needed.
Ephany sat on a boulder a few feet away, watching the steam rise from her breath, fading into the cold, crisp morning air.
I made the choice, not her. She's not to be blamed for this.
Ever the noble warrior, eh, Eff?
The queen smiled slightly at her.
Tell me of the reason you did this.
My queen?
Ephany asked in a confused tone.
Eff, I know you too well. You're a stickler for rules. Why else did you choose to break a law, the Conqueror's law, that could cost you your life?
The queen tilted her head slightly and questioned to her regent.
Do you have feelings for her, Eff?
Ephany lowered her head, staring at the ground in silent affirmation of the comment her queen had made. The queen acknowledged this silence as such.
Oh, Eff,
she said in a comforting yet sad tone.
Everything about her. She's a beautiful woman, easy to talk with. She's brave enough to ask for such a supreme thing, not for others, but for those who can't, even at the possible cost of her own safety and life.
Ephany looked up, and then away.
I love her.
They sat in silence, each not looking at the other, Queen Melosa giving her regent the time to compose herself.
Is the feeling mutual?
Queen Melosa finally asked. Ephany lowered her head again, then slowly shook her head no.
Her last words to me were, I care for you a great deal, but please don't ask more of me.
Her voice cracking.
I'm truly sorry, my friend.
Ephany nodded and took a deep breath.
I'm sorry for disappointing you, my queen. I accept I've broken the law, and I submit to Amazon trial and punishment.
Looking at the queen directly.
Very well, Ephany, but it will not be by Amazon trial.
Meet me in the elder's tent at dusk. In the meanwhile, I do not want you leaving the encampment until then.
The queen rose, as did Ephany, who saluted her and headed back towards her tent. Oh, my dear friend, if only you knew how lucky you are.
Queen Melosa thought, heading in the opposite direction towards the palace. Silently walking into the kitchen and up behind Ophelia.
Ophi, can I ask you a question?
Asked the conqueror. This scared the old woman so much, she yelped and threw the bread dough she was kneading up into the air, which the conqueror caught just before it hit the ground, and put it back on the table with a small snicker.
Why, you little...
Ophelia started, turning around to glare at her.
Oops, sorry, I forgot you hate that.
She smiled meekly and gave an attempt of an innocent look. Ophelia exclaimed in exasperation.
I thought you grew out of that.
Old habits are hard to break.
The conqueror replied, giving her a kiss on the cheek.
Shaking her head.
Sit down, you rotten imp. I'll fetch a mug of tea and you can ask away.
Ophelia pointed to a stool and walked over to the fire pit up the water. Seating themselves down near the pit and sharing a bit of warm bread, Ophelia waited. She had known the conqueror almost the entire time she had been a warrior, having joined her camp once she needed a cook and never looked back. She knew when something was on her mind, and went to bide her time as the conqueror was never one to confide in anyone of her feelings. So when she came to see her, she let her set the pace at what she wanted to discuss, no matter how long it took. After a few candle drops, the conqueror cleared her throat.
Ophi, how do you know when you've met the right person?
She asked, not looking up, and began working her thumb along a seam in the table next to her.
How do you mean?
Well, I've been having these, I don't know, messages sent to me in dreams.
How do you know they're messages?
Because Goddess Aphrodite told me they were.
The conqueror replied casually. Ophelia did not question her on this, as she had found out seasons earlier that the gods chose to be involved in the conqueror's life, even to the extent of one of them trying to get into her bed.
So what did these messages reveal?
They gave me some detail on different things each time. At first, it was that I was captive of someone who had overtaken me in battle and taken my realm. Then it was of a woman as yet unknown to me being killed. Then it was that I could see glimpses of her before being killed.
The conqueror took a very shaky breath on the last sentence.
Who is it, Xena?
Ophelia rarely, if ever, called her by her name, unless it was a time of illness or injury.
Gabrielle.
She replied sadly. Ophelia barely nodded, not wanting to keep interrupting the conqueror, lest she stop.
Goddess Aphrodite told me she could only give me these so-called pieces of information. I had to put it all together and figure it out on my own. I'm just, well... I don't want her to... What if...
She was growing frustrated.
You're worried that if it's her, then these dreams can come true and she'd get hurt.
Ophelia finished for her. A nod.
Xena, in answer to your question, how do you know? Well, it's simple. Well, you don't have to ask.
The conqueror shook her head.
I don't understand, Ophi.
That's all right, child. It's because you never... given your heart before, and here you are having to sort it out.
Ophelia said while gently pacing a hand on the conqueror's chest above a heart.
Let me try to explain it to you the easy way. Do you doubt how you feel about her?
No.
Do you trust her?
Yes.
Do you feel protective about her?
Yes.
Do you love her?
Yes.
Are you in love with her?
Yes.
So as I said earlier, in answer to your question of how do you know, when you don't have to ask, she completes you. And I see it in your eyes, my child, when you look at her. You're in head over heels, love. Ophelia said happily, as tears glistened unshed in her eyes. It's finally given itself away.
What has given itself away?
Your heart, child.
Ophelia rose and gave the conqueror a kiss on the forehead with a small hug, then turned and went back to kneading the dough on the table, wiping away the tears that ran down her cheeks. The conqueror sat there, dumbfounded. How could she, the Lord Conqueror of the Greek Empire, have given her heart away without knowledge and forethought? Then, very slowly, a small smile crept up from the corners of her mouth. The smile proceeded further up along her olive-colored skin until her eyes sparkled brilliant blue with its joy. There it settled as her face became illuminated and she radiated pure happiness. The realization of what Ophelia had said had sunk in. I don't have to ask. The conqueror rose without a word and picked up Ophelia in a great big hug, spinning her around, gently pacing her back down to the ground, and left the kitchen, leaving a shocked but smiling woman behind. Chapter 26. Gabrielle sat on her bed, a message scroll and quill in her hand.
I am a coward. How am I to do this? I asked her to break a law for me, and I can't even face her,
she thought to herself, putting the items down.
No, I will face her. Just not now. I need to get my words and thoughts in order.
She laid down on the bed, exhaustion overcoming her mind in the battle to stay awake. Keep your right side guarded. You're letting it down when you turn and sweep. The conqueror tapped her with the staff where she indicated.
Okay, but how do you cover up and twist and then sweep?
Gabrielle asked as she moved in the motion she asked about. You drop your staff end down, then bend and twist. This way, even though your flank is exposed, you're coiled and ready to snap back when you're done with the hit, the conqueror demonstrated.
Oh, okay, got it.
She tried once more as she saw her do it. That's it. You've got it now. The conqueror then started a set of parries with her and suddenly struck her staff into the ground, flipping over easily and grabbing Gabrielle by the waist.
Hey! No fair! I haven't been taught that move!
Gabrielle squawked, shocked. No, it's my little secret way of getting my hands on you, leered the conqueror.
You're incorrigible!
Gabrielle slept at her arms. When it comes to you, oh yeah, nuzzling into her neck.
My queen, Lord Conqueror.
Eponin was on bended knee in front of them.
The Elder Council is ready.
Hi, Eponin. Okay, thank you. Let them know I'll be there shortly.
Gabrielle turned in the Conqueror's embrace to look at the kneeling Amazon.
As you wish, my queen.
Eponin saluted and left.
I really can't get used to that,
Gabrielle said, looking at the retreating Eponin's back.
What, me or her?
Asked the conqueror.
Them. All the Amazons calling me their queen.
Gabrielle leaned into the conqueror's embrace.
Give it time. It will take a while for the shock to wear off. But you must always remember, you are their queen now.
Turning Gabrielle around in her arms to face her, and you will be mine as well on the morrow. She looked into her loving emerald eyes.
Are you sure, Xena? I mean, I don't feel I have a right to be your queen wife, nor queen to the Amazon nation.
She looked away. Pulling her chin back to look at her, the conqueror looked into her eyes.
It is because you don't think or feel you have a right, or deserve to be that, that you do. No more better quality in a leader, companion, or mate than humility could one ask for. That is one of the reasons I love you, little one.
She then leaned to her and placed a soft kisses to her lips.
Hey, sleepyhead, wake up! You're going to sleep the day away!
Nika said loudly, startling Gabrielle out of her blissful yet confusion dreamed. Sitting upright with her legs off the bed, she looked very bleary-eyed at Nika.
What? What's going on?
Nothing. Just thought you'd like to get up before sunset, that's all.
I only got to bed a couple of candle marks ago.
She dropped down back into the bed.
Yeah, right. That was yesterday. I've been to bed, up, and worked all day, and just come in to fetch something when I thought I'd check on you since you missed morning meal and were out for all dinars.
Snickered Nika.
You mean I slept all night and midday?
Gabrielle sat up with an incredulous look on her face, tousling her hair.
Yep. So before all the midday meal is gone, I figured I'd wake you to get some.
Nika waved as she exited their shared quarters.
Thanks,
Gabrielle replied.
Wow, what a dream. Me, queen wife to the Lord Conqueror, and queen to the Amazon Nation.
She scratched the back of her head.
I have definitely got to lay off Ophelia's nut bread before bed.
She laughed at herself.
Well, hello there, sleepyhead. How you feeling?
Ophelia asked as she put more vegetables into the boiling pot.
Very well. Thanks to you, Ophi.
Gabrielle replied while sneaking a bit of carrot into her mouth. Ophelia slapped her hands as she reached for another.
Well, go sit yourself down with some food before you eat all my dinner fixin'.
Gabrielle pouted, then smiled and grabbed the plate full of food.
Ophi, can I ask you a question? Sure, child. What you got in your mind? How much do you believe about what we dream to be true?
Gabrielle forked another mouthful into her mouth.
Well, according to the old scrolls, it said that dreams are the way the gods talk to us and tell us what they either see for us or what they want us to do. Why, child?
I just had a very out there dream.
Finishing the last morsel of food and looking about for more.
And was a bit curious. Do you want to tell me about it? Maybe I can help.
Ophelia offered as she filled another plate for Gabrielle. After telling Ophelia of her dream, Gabrielle sat quietly as Ophelia thought things out.
So, first you're sparring with the Conqueror, then you're in her arms being kissed by her.
This brought a blush to Gabrielle's cheeks.
Then you're being called queen by one of the warriors?
She stopped and scratched her head.
Well, we know the Conqueror knows about the training that other warrior gal showed you, so it could be just your mind replacing one warrior for the other. Then since the other night, when you had some time in her company alone. It could be you wanted more, that's all. Maybe the queen thingy is just you wanting to be in charge for a change.
But I said I couldn't get used to them calling me that, Orphe. Why would I want it, but not?
I don't know, child. Just guessing, that's all I'm doing.
Ophelia shrugged her shoulders and kept peeling potatoes.
I know, Orphe. Thank you, though. No need to thank me, child. But you could take dinner up to the Conqueror later for me. Seth's not feeling well. That time of the moon.
Okay, I will. I'll take her a mug of rosemary with berries so maybe it'll help her cramps.
Gabrielle rose and set about getting one ready for her. Regent Ephany, the priestess, elder, and I have discussed a matter of importance concerning you. With their counsel, I have determined a necessary course of action. Queen Melissa stated from a chair inside the elder's tent. As you are aware, we expect Satori's arrival shortly. She will arrive by escort of one. As the Conqueror has advised me of the request received for her, for a private audience by Satori, we are to know that this request is being forestalled for a moon, until the Conqueror has made a decision on how to approach this delicate matter. Ephany stood in the tent, her back to the entrance. She had one hand clasped over the other, in front of her in a relaxed stance. For the time that she awaits a reply, and the time this matter is resolved, Soturi will stay here in the Amazon encampment. Now, as she will be considered a royal suitor, she must have an escort. But her arriving escort will not fulfill this requirement, as she is only a traveling companion escort. Ephany stiffened. The slow realization of what was coming became evident with each word. She will require an escort at all times, from the encampment for meals, bathing, social calls, training.
everything. Her escort now will be with her, but now in the capacity of attendant until this matter has a resolution. So with that being said, you are to be her guard escort for the duration. Queen Melosa finished by looking directly at Effany. Effany's jaws clenched so tightly, the queen could have sworn she heard bits of teeth breaking off. Her nostrils flared, and she took in a few very deep breaths to calm herself. I am sure you fully understand the gravity of this situation and the reason for this. The queen tilted her head slightly, in silenced communication with Effany, to which Effany nodded her head once, subtly. You are to make all necessary preparations for her arrival, and will take charge of any needs that arise as soon as she arrives. Otherwise, you are to stay at the encampment. That is all. Effany understood her punishment. She was to perform the one task she despised. Escort duty for a second-rate function. Saluting the queen, she exited the tent and went towards the training clearing.
Of all the heinous forsaken punishment, I'd rather have shoots put up my nails than escort duty for a royal suitor. At least it would be done and over with,
she thought to herself as she paced back and forth.
I know I broke the law, but Hades!
She ran a hand through her hair.
Why this? I'm a warrior, not a babysitter.
She finally sat down on a boulder, deflated.
I deserve it. I let my queen down. For what? For the sake of what I thought was the most noble reason? Love? Yeah, right. How wrong was I? Just suck it up and take your punishment.
She stood, wrapping her cloak around herself tighter, and looked towards the palace.
Goodbye, my Lady Gabrielle.
She whispered the words into the wind, turned, and walked slowly towards her tent. Chapter 27. Enter! The conqueror said as Gabrielle knocked on the chamber door.
Good evening, my lord,
Gabrielle replied as she carried in the tray Ophelia had put together once the guard opened the door. Waiting until the guard exited and closed the door behind her, the conqueror replied, Good evening, little one. How are you? Gabrielle looked a bit confused.
My lord?
I have not seen you about the grounds today. Are you well? The conqueror rose from her chair behind her desk and walked towards the table.
Oh, yes.
Gabrielle was flustered and nervous. Gabrielle, it's okay. Calm down. The conqueror put a gentle hand on her shoulder. Looking up to her, she could see the smile touching the strikingly beautiful face before her, see the depth of her actions, and see more. They stood looking at one another, no words of movement, just a searching of an inner bond they both shared and wanted to reconnect. Finally shaking her head, the conqueror took a deep breath.
So, what have I been allowed to have?
Gabrielle gave a quizzical look at the statement the conqueror had just said.
My lord?
The conqueror laughed.
Ophie has been holding my favorite pastries hostage until she feels I have eaten properly.
Lifting the lid to her food tray.
Oh well, it's not bad. I can do steak and veggies. Have you eaten already?
She asked as she turned to Gabrielle, then took her seat.
Yes, my lord. I was sent to rest by Ophie, as she felt I was looking haggard, which was my reason for not being about the palace. My apologies if I was lax in attending to your needs, my lord.
Good. You should not overdo it, especially in the weather like this. It saps your strength and leaves your body aching deep inside. Would you care to join me?
The conqueror looked up with hopefulness in her voice.
I could always share.
Oh, no, my lord. You eat, please. Thank you for your kindness.
Hesitantly, she asked.
But might you mind the company?
I would greatly enjoy your company. Please, sit.
She motioned to the chair.
Thank you, my lord.
After eating and enjoying small talk, the conqueror finally put the lid back on the tray.
I've got an idea. Would you care to join me, Gabrielle?
Feeling very at ease, and trusting the conqueror completely, Gabrielle easily said,
Yes, thank you, my lord.
The conqueror rose and grabbed a cloak, and stopped to think a moment, bringing a smile to her face, then walked out, followed by Gabrielle.
She headed down to the kitchen and directly into it. "Ophi, could I have a satchel?"
Then she walked up to the surprised woman and whispered. Ophelia was surprised at the voice she heard and turned to see the Conqueror and Gabriel right behind her.
When the Conqueror whispered to her, she smiled and nodded.
Ophelia bustled about quickly and a few candle drops later handed the Conqueror a satchel.
"Come on, I want to show you something,"
the Conqueror said as she held out her hand to Gabriel, who took it without thinking. They walked hand in hand through the palace corridor, totally at ease and holding hands, and the Conqueror completely oblivious to the tiny smiles coming to the faces of some of the guards along the way. Letting go of Gabrielle's hand, she handed her the satchel.
"Would you hold this for me, for a candle drop?"
Gabrielle held the satchel and watched as the Conqueror searched the stone wall for something. Finding what she looked for, the Conqueror struggled to open the door, which was apparently quite heavy and unused. Taking a torch off of one of the wall sconces, she reached down and took hold of Gabriel's hand again.
"Just be careful, as these steps are quite slippery, as they haven't been used in ages."
They ascended a spiral staircase in one of the furthermost towers in the palace. If the Conqueror had not stopped to open the heavy door, Gabriel would not have known it was there, as it looked to be part of the stone wall, for it was hidden so well. Reaching to the top of the stairs, the Conqueror replaced the torch into the sconce and opened the small trap door above her. It was just at the top of the landing where they were standing, and the Conqueror had to bend down a bit to fit through.
"Okay, come up. Give me your hand first so you don't slip."
When Gabriel stepped through, she realized where she was. She was on top of the world. The Conqueror had taken her to the uppermost and highest point possible of the palace, in a small room in the tower. It was opened by four windows, each in the directions of the compass points, so that the view was never obstructed. Gabriel stood with her mouth agape, turning around in a complete circle, trying to take it all in and not miss anything should all disappear before her. The Conqueror took the satchel from her hands and stepped back to her lower to look. In the meanwhile, she closed her trap door so as that neither one of them would fall through and put the satchel down against the stone wall. She stood and watched the awe on Gabriel's face as she drank in her surroundings, simply enjoying the beauty of her and her face. Gabrielle shivered noticeably, and the Conqueror draped her cloak over her shoulders. Gabrielle turned her head to look up to the Conqueror and put her hand over the Conqueror's, which still rested on her shoulder.
"My lord, this is amazing!"
Turning back to look out over the land.
"Thank you for your cloak, your time, and this!"
Her eyes glistened with the joy she felt. "I'm glad you like it, and you've no need to thank me." She did not finish. Instead, she turned herself away.
"My lord, is there something wrong?"
Gabrielle grew concerned, as she felt her take her hand away and watched her walk up to one of the windows, taking a deep breath.
"No, there is nothing wrong. It's all right. I never felt it so all right before."
"My lord, what is this place?"
"Nowhere in particular. I found this one day when I first came to live in this palace. It was never mentioned to me, nor did anyone else know of it. I could not even find it mentioned in any of the plans or scrolls for the palace. It has been seasons since I came up here. I used to come up when I was back from some campaign or other."
She walked to the other window.
"It's where I would get away from everyone when..."
She took a deep, sad breath.
"There wasn't anyone but me,"
she whispered. Gabrielle walked up beside her and gently took the Conqueror's hand into her own.
"My lord, it may be a little comfort, but if I could, with your permission, might I be company to you?"
"Only if you so wished it, little one,"
replied the Conqueror with a small smile as she turned around to look at Gabrielle. She took her hand and gently traced Gabrielle's cheek with her knuckles.
"Would you wish such a thing, Gabrielle?"
"Oh, yes, my lord. Very much so,"
she replied as she leaned into the caress, turning her face and placing a kiss to the top of her knuckles.
"Then might I ask something of you, Gabrielle?"
"Yes, my lord, of course,"
Would you? Of course, only in private and between us. Call me by my name.
The Conqueror looked into Gabrielle's eyes.
Yes, my lord. If you so wish it.
She lowered her eyes slightly.
I would greatly. From you.
The Conqueror slipped a hand to the base of Gabrielle's neck.
Then so be it. Xena.
Gabrielle softly said as she watched the Conqueror close her eyes, waiting to hear what would be a balm to her soul. A small tear escaped her closed eyes and ran down her cheek. Gabrielle took the initiative this time and cupped the Conqueror's face in her hand, pulling her down and sealing their agreement with a gentle kiss. At that moment, a shooting star flew across the skies, sealed the fate of the two souls. Pulling back from the kiss, the Conqueror's eyes fluttered open to see Viridian eyes tenderly looking into hers. She pulled Gabrielle into an embrace and breathed in her scent in a fulfilling and satisfying deep breath as she rested her chin upon her head.
Here, I've got something.
The Conqueror went to the satchel they had carried up and brought back a flask of hot tea and a wrapped parcel.
I asked Ophi to release a few hostages.
She joked as she handed Gabrielle the parcel, still a bit warm with her favorite pastries.
Have you ever had one of these?
She began to open the parcel as Gabrielle held it in her hands.
No, my Xena.
Gabrielle corrected herself, and the Conqueror heard the gesture, causing her to smile. Picking up a pastry from the package, the Conqueror held it with her fingertips and with a questioning look, offered it to Gabrielle. Gabrielle could see that the Conqueror was hesitant and nervous, as was she, but she wanted to start some trust and comfort between them. She wanted this very much so. She looked directly into the Conqueror's eyes and opened her mouth. The Conqueror shakily placed the morsel to Gabrielle's mouth, and as Gabrielle closed her lips around the pastry, she took the Conqueror's fingertips into her mouth as well. The Conqueror watched in absolute fascination as Gabrielle closed her mouth around her fingertips and gently lipped at them in the most innocently exotic and sensual gesture she had ever experienced. Gabrielle slowly closed her eyes, reveling in the soft sensuality of the Conqueror's fingertips in her mouth, which caused a set of spasms in her lower belly, not to mention the food explosion in her mouth. The Conqueror withdrew her fingertips ever so slowly, looking at them as if they were bolts of lightning forged by Hephaestus himself. Then she watched Gabrielle as she experienced the puff pastry for the first time. The little moans and mews she didn't realize she was expressing herself with were undoing the Conqueror.
Gods on Olympus, I am glad it's cold out here. Otherwise I'd be a puddle on the floor by now.
The Conqueror thought to herself. What? She stopped and cleared her throat. And as it come out as a squeak.
Would you like some tea to drink?
While she poured out a very warm mug of tea.
I had Ophi make us some hot tea for us.
Yes, thank you. That was...
Looking directly into the Conqueror's eyes, with an almost predatory look.
Divine.
Gabrielle purred. The Conqueror gulped audibly.
Look, see that mountain over there?
She pointed and stepped over to the window, through which the mountain could be seen, as she attempted to control whatever was happening.
Goddess Aphrodite, give me strength so that I might not ravish her here and now, for I truly believe that I'm in love with her, and would only wish to honor her.
The Conqueror implored the goddess silently, as she quickly closed her eyes, and willed her body calm.
That is Acrocorinth, where the Temple to Aphrodite is located.
Then pointing to another window.
And that road there leads via Lachion Road to the Agora.
As she took a calming breath.
And that is where the Pyrenees fountain is.
Gabrielle smiled at the flustered actions of the Conqueror and walked over to where she stood, taking her hand in her own and looking out in the direction the Conqueror pointed. The Conqueror looked down to Gabrielle and was greeted with a warm smile and sparkling green eyes. The moon shone through the window, casting a ray of ethereal light over the two of them.
Have you always come here? when you sought solitude?
Gabriel leaned a head on the conqueror's shoulder. Sometimes. Others I would walk the grounds, or simply lock myself in my study.
I know I have no right to ask, but you could have anyone, any woman in the world. Why did you not seek the company of one of them?
I could and did, she somberly replied, but only to fulfill my physical needs. Of that I had many bedwarmers. The conqueror turned her head to look out over the isthmus of Corinth that was off in the distance. She recalled a few of those women who shared her bed, but never her heart, each of them hoping to win the favor of the conqueror's eyes, and thus her heart. But no one could fulfill what my heart needed or wanted.
Oh,
was the only response she heard. Sensing Gabrielle was thinking herself to be another one of those to fulfill her physical needs only, the conqueror turned to face her again. She saw that Gabrielle had lowered her head and felt her hand had gone limp and lifeless in hers.
Gabrielle, little one, you are not one of them. She waited a candle dot for Gabrielle to register what she had said, then proceeded. You could never be one of them. I have never brought anyone up here before you, nor will I ever again. Do not think so little of me to take your virtue and honor in such a manner.
I'm sorry. I meant no disrespect, my lord.
Gabrielle lowered her head even more.
Are you wishing to take back your offer of company now? I will hold no ill will towards you, and would understand.
The conqueror's heart was breaking as she spoke the word, but wanted Gabrielle to know she was free to make her own decisions.
No, I just... You have...
Gabrielle could not explain herself. She brought her hand up to cover her face. She closed her eyes in frustration at having judged the conqueror so wrong.
Please forgive me,
as the tears began.
I did not mean to judge you, and do not wish to take back my offer, if you will still have me.
Oh, little one, do you not see? I have no choice in this.
She looked into the confused eyes looking back at her.
My heart gave itself already.
Gabrielle's shoulders slumped and sagged at having heard this, once again mistaking.
To you.
Gabrielle looked up into the brightest sparkling sea of blue eyes she had ever seen.
What?
I am in love with you, Gabrielle.
Me?
Yes, little one. You.
But I'm a mere slave, my lord,
she began, shaking her head to try and comprehend what was happening.
There is nothing mere of you, Gabrielle, and do not worry yourself over your status. That will be amended soon enough.
The conqueror put her index finger under Gabrielle's chin, tilting it up.
I love you, Gabrielle. From my first dream of you, the moment I met you, I knew you are my other half. My heart has never led me before, and now it has given itself to you completely.
The tears flowed freely from Gabrielle's eyes.
Do you not wish this to be?
Asked the conqueror, confused at her reaction in tears.
Oh, I do so much.
Placing her forehead on the conqueror's chest, then turning her head so it rested there, hearing the fast beating heart.
I also am in love with you. I love you, Xena.
As the words were spoken, the conqueror held her tighter. She closed her eyes while embracing her.
Thank you, Aphrodite, and any of the gods above who allowed me this gift.
She pulled back from Gabrielle slightly and leaned down to place the gentlest of kisses to her lips. Gabrielle looked up to the conqueror, who leaned into her for a kiss. When she closed her eyes and felt the gentlest of kisses, she thought,
Thank you, Athena, and any of the gods who have allowed me this gift.
They stood in the moonlight just holding each other without any words being spoken, each enjoying the moment for what it meant to them, coming home. After a candle mark, the conqueror could feel Gabrielle shift slightly, her body sensing the tiredness in the lithe body it held in her arms.
Hey, it's getting late. Let's get you back so you can rest.
Snuggling a bit further into the conqueror.
Don't wanna,
she replied in a childlike, muffled manner, causing the conqueror to laugh.
Gods, that sounds so nice. Thought Gabrielle the sound of the conqueror laughing. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to face Ophi as the cause for you dragging around tomorrow, all bleary-eyed and exhausted. Not yet, anyways. Winked the conqueror with a wicked grin. This caused Gabrielle to blush deep shade of scarlet and bury her face into the conqueror's chest, which caused her to laugh even harder. Come on. Taking her by the hand and retrieving the satchel. We've got a lot of things to do tomorrow, and I'd prefer to do them with a full alertness and rest. Besides, you're the one who could sleep through a Persian army walking over you, if I recall.
Oh, that's not fair. I was tired.
Gabrielle tried to defend herself.
Uh-huh.
Was all the conqueror said as she opened the trap door and helped Gabrielle down the stairs, closing the door behind them. Escorting her to her room, the conqueror let go of the satchel and pulled both of Gabrielle's hands up to her lips, placing a kiss to each. Thank you for everything. She looked up from their joined hands.
I don't want this night to end, but I must sort some issues first.
Looking to the left and to the right to see if any was about, Gabrielle stood on her tippy toes and leaned close to the conqueror's ear.
I understand, Xena.
And then lowering herself back down to look into her eyes, she whispered,
I love you, my conqueror.
This brought a small and beautiful smile to the conqueror's face, such a term of endearment.
I like that, and I love you too, little one. Now, off to bed with you.
She then leaned down and softly kissed her.
Good night.
Good night,
Gabrielle replied, entering a room with a smile, filling not only her face, but her heart as well. Chapter 28. At the sunrise, the conqueror was already out riding on her stallion, Sirion. He was a magnificent creature of dark brown, with a small white patch on his forehead. He stood 18 hands and had been chosen by her out of a herd of horses she encountered upon returning home from her campaign in northern Thrace. He had stood at the lead of the herd, almost defiant of her troops' movement across the field. The conqueror walked up to the plateau he stood on, slowly. She had removed all her armor and battle gear in the process, and approached him with only her battlefield shift on, as if showing him she meant him no harm, nor possibly disrespect for his status in the herd. She extended her hand to him and waited for him to allow her to approach. When he did, she was stealth in action. She swiftly grabbed his mane and mounted him bareback. He immediately reared up, and she clamped her strong thighs around him while wrapping his mane around her hand and holding on with sheer strength. He bolted forward at a fascinating speed that caused her eyes to water as the wind rushed by. She leaned into his stride and gave her wild battle cry at the pure adrenaline rush she was enjoying, encouraging him forward even more. After a candle mark at breakneck speed, he began to slow and neigh at her. She then spoke to him in a soothing manner, and something she had never encountered happened. It was as if he understood her and shook his head. From that moment on, they were inseparable. Cantering back to the palace ground, she directed him towards the familiar stables. Once dismounted, she reached into her cloak and took an apple from a hidden pocket. She then drew a small dagger from between her breasts, diced the apple, and held it out for him to take. Brush him down for me, and make sure he's well rested, Demas. She handed the reins to the stable boy.
Aye, Lord Conqueror.
He bowed and led the horse into the stable. Once in her study, she asked that Abraxas be requested to her study.
Good morning, Abraxas. Pleasant day, is it not?
She stood looking out over the palace from her study window.
Good morning, Lord Conqueror. I take it you have had another good night's rest.
He bowed and saluted.
An excellent night, Abraxas. An excellent night.
She smiled broadly.
I want to convene my council this morning. Aye, Lord Conqueror. I will advise them.
He went to leave.
Abraxas, have them there in the next candle mark. Aye, Lord Conqueror.
Hello. Gabrielle, your skirt's on fire.
Ophelia said, waving her hands in front of Gabrielle's face.
That's nice, Ophie.
She replied, still splitting peas into the crock pot.
Okay, that's it, girl. Spill it!
Ophelia said, wiping her hands on a towel and pulling a stool up next to her.
Hmm? What did you say, Elfie?
She asked distractedly. Snap out of it, child. I wants to know, and I wants to know now. She grabbed Gabrielle's chin with her hand and turned her head to face her.
Oh, gods on Olympus. It's happened,
she said in shock. Gabrielle looked at Ophelia with a glowing and radiant smile. Her eyes sparkled, and she had a dreamy air about her.
Did you share the evening with the Conqueror?
Ophelia asked.
Yes,
she said dreamily. Then she realized what Ophelia really was asking.
Oh, no! Not like that, Ophi!
She blushed.
We talked up in the tower. She was very respectable, and would do nothing to dishonor my virtue in any manner.
No, she wouldn't. Do you love her, child? Ophelia took both of Gabrielle's hands into her own on the tabletop.
Yes, Ophi, with all my heart. I'm in love with her. I can't get her out of my mind, and I don't want to,
she sincerely answered with eyes glistening.
Then I'm happy for your child, and for her, finally. I wish you both the blessings of Aphrodite.
Ophelia pulled her into a hug.
Ophi, can I ask a favor of you?
Gabrielle asked her as she pulled back from the hug.
Sure, child. What? Can we keep this a secret until I ask her if it's okay to tell anyone? I don't want to break her confidence in me, and we really haven't discussed whether I can say anything or not. You can trust me, child. You know that. Yes, Sophie, I know. Thank you.
She gave her a quick kiss on the cheek.
You've been my mother to me the whole time I've been here, and if I had known my true mother, I would have wished she'd been you. Oh, child, don't do that. Wouldn't it be if bad enough?
Chided Ophelia, getting up and wiping her eyes, trying to hide her embarrassment at such a compliment she'd never received. So, as she was kidnapped by illegal slavers, which I had confirmed a moon ago, I am enacting my law now that if any slave found to have been forced into slavery illegally petitions this council and is proven innocent, that slave shall receive their freedom immediately, with recompense from the royal coffers for years lost in servitude. The Conqueror said to the council.
You have confirmed this story, Lord Conqueror?
Asked Lividius, an elder member of the council. Yes, I wanted to be sure, for reasons I choose not to disclose, that the story was true, she replied.
And this was done through a priestess?
Another member asked. Well, it wasn't really a priestess, the Conqueror emphasizing the word priestess with air brackets.
Lord Conqueror, are you saying it was not confirmed?
Lividius interjected. No, only that it wasn't by a priestess. She looked at them.
Then by whom? We need to know this, Lord Conqueror, as you yourself set down the requirements of openness of records for proof.
A third council member demanded. It was by the goddess Aphrodite. The Conqueror said, matter-of-factly.
The goddess herself?
Lividius asked. Yes.
Then we are no way to disregard the goddess's statement, lest we bring down any of their wrath.
Lividia stated, turning to the other five members.
Are we in accordance?
Aye!
They responded in unison. Scribe, make note of the following. She waited for the scribe to get parchment and quill ready.
Per order of the Lord Conqueror and her council, effected immediately, the slave known as Gabrielle of Potidaea has granted her freedom. All records of her slavery are to be eradicated or made known as illegal. She is to be offered recompense for all the years she has held illegally.
The Conqueror waited for the scribe to be finished.
So be it.
She ended, thus making it law and officially proclaiming it. Taking her signet ring off her small finger on her left hand, that she only wore for such occasions, the Conqueror poured wax from the red candle that was on the table for this purpose alone, and indented her seal into the cooling wax, officially sealing the parchment.
I also want to advise council of a new law that I am enacting. Any child at or under the age of 11 seasons are not to be forced into slavery. Those coerced to be assassins or thieves without reason shall be tried for their crimes. All those in slavery at the moment are to be returned to the immediate family. Should this cause burden on payment of debt or family, the family may petition council for a hearing. If no family exists, They will become wards of the realm until Age of Reckoning.
Lord Conqueror, though this is a grand gesture, it will cause some dissent amongst some of the nobles,
a member stated. Then they can petition to see me with their reasons. She replied with an authority that put off any challenge. This council is now adjourned. She finished. That evening, the Conqueror requested Gabriel's presence in the official meeting room.
Ophie, what's going on? Why would she summon me there?
Gabriel asked Ophelia, worriedly as she paced back and forth.
Child, whatever the reason, you best not keep her waiting. Now off you go before you winds up in trouble.
Gabriel straightened her skirt before knocking on the door to the meeting room. A royal guard opened it, and she was led into the room, where Abraxas stood next to the seated Conqueror. Gabriel looked nervously to the Conqueror, and then looked about the room. She saw that Ophelia was already inside, next to Safina, Nika, and Titimus, and the rest of the staff. On the other side of the room sat the Lord Conqueror's council. Gabriel was led to the front center of the room. She looked frightened, felt lost as to why the Conqueror, who only last night confessed her loved her, would summon her in such a manner. Once the guard stopped to the front of the room, Gabriel bowed.
My lord, you summoned me.
The Conqueror did not respond, but motioned with her left hand for the palace scribe to come forward. With a nod of her head, the scribe began.
The Lord Conqueror of the Greek Empire convenes this court this evening to announce official proclamations.
He waited and was given a nod to proceed.
Effective immediately, any and all children in slavery at or under the age of 11 seasons are to be given their freedom. Under new law enacted today, any child illicitly forced into servitude, with exception to few, are to be set free and returned to family they have. If no family exists or is of unsound bearing, they will become wards to the realm until Age of Reckoning.
Gabriel stood perplexed.
Well, but why? What does it have to do with me now?
She thought to herself. Then it dawned on her. She was illegally enslaved before that age.
The second proclamation. The slave known as Gabriel of Potidaea.
At the sound of her name being said, Gabriel's head snapped up to look directly at the Conqueror. The scribe unfurled the parchment scroll.
Per order of the Lord Conqueror of the Greek Empire and her counselor, effective immediately, Gabriel of Potidaea is hereby granted her freedom from slavery and servitude. All record of enslavement will be stricken from the archives. All the years of enslavement, council will recompense and provide means to begin on life anew.
The scribe turned to the Conqueror and bowed.
So be it.
The Conqueror's commanding voice resonated in the hall. With that proclamation, those gathered erupted into cheers and ran towards Gabrielle, engulfing her in hugs and kisses. Gabrielle was still in shock at what had just transpired. She tried to collect her thoughts as she was being turned around by each close friend to congratulate her. When she was finally able to look up, the Conqueror was gone.
You knew!
Gabriel said to Ophelia as they sat in the dining hall. Ophelia had suggested a small celebration in honor of the special occasion. Abraxas and Titimus sat discussing war injuries and their effects, while Safina and Nika were talking about the newest troops expected in the next few days for training camp. The rest of the staff were mingling about in discussions of their own. Gabriel had Ophelia cornered as she went to get some more food from the table opposite them.
Fess up! Child, I only know I was told the candle dropped before you to be there, and only that I was to come in through that side door. Not what it was all about. I swear it's to you.
She held up her hand.
Why didn't she stay? Why didn't she come and say something to me?
Gabriel suddenly sat down, very sad at the thought.
Oh, sweetie.
Ophelia sat down next to her, wrapping an arm around her shoulder.
She is the Lord Conqueror, child. Not only does she have the image to maintain, but she has duties. She oversees the entire realm that she fought so hard to create.
Giving her a little hug.
I'm sure it has nothing to do with your child. She more than likely had something come up that had to be attended to. Even if she didn't, she couldn't just come down off her chair and hug you in front of the others. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Taking a deep breath.
This is also new to me, being in love. but it's the best thing you ever feel, my child. Cherish it every day. I will, Ophi. I promise.
So what happens now?
Well, I don't rightly know, child. Never been around when something like this has happened. I guess you can do what you want, when you want to now. But for tonight, you come and share with friends, and you go to your own room as usual. I'm sure one of them stuffed shirt nobles will send word on what goes on from here.
Ophelia rose from her seat and led Gabrielle back to the others.
Goddess Aphrodite,
the conqueror called out in a private study. A shimmering light cascaded down into a chair.
Hello, Xena. How you doing?
Replied the goddess once she was fully materialized.
I am well, Goddess Aphrodite. Thank you for coming. I wanted to ask you a few questions, if I might.
The conqueror had bowed slightly in deference to the goddess.
Yes, Xena. Go ahead.
I know you said you could not tell me things directly, but can you tell me if my heart has chosen correctly, as I really am in love with her? But
would you stop loving her if I told you she was not the one?
The goddess interrupted.
No!
She replied instantly.
I couldn't, nor would I want to,
the conqueror said, shaking her head. The goddess smiled.
I heard your prayer the other night. Very admirable.
The conqueror blushed at the memory.
My sister tells me you have a few proclamations this evening. A noble gesture, Xena. It did not go unnoticed by a few of us.
Aphrodite straightened out her gown.
Forgive me, Goddess Aphrodite, but I don't understand why it would ever even matter to the gods.
Because you're trying to challenge, Xena. You're changing what you were, and also how others are treated. That is truly a courageous thing to do, much more so than any battle you ever fought.
The goddess inclined her head.
Xena, you are now following the path the fates have somewhat chosen for you, and with your actions, you've corrected several others' paths, so that they may fulfill theirs.
With a puzzled look the conqueror gave, the goddess continued.
There were several people who had their path altered by someone we have yet to uncover. I, however, have my suspicions. But regardless, your actions have put them back in order. Do not concern yourself with who they are or how they will be involved in your life's thread. Know that it's all in accordance with what we gods approve of.
Leaning closer to the conqueror, she whispered,
And between you and me, you have a few of us watching over you who are on your side.
She winked. The conqueror did not know how to respond, so she merely nodded her head slightly.
There will be more to come, Xena. Pay close attention to details, both present and past, for there are clues in them.
She rose.
If you still need me, as before, just call, and if I can, I will answer.
The conqueror bowed to her. Thank you, Goddess Aphrodite.
Oh, before I forget.
She snapped her fingers, and a shimmering gold staff appeared on the table next to them. The glow faded to show a normal-looking bamboo staff, with an inscription and mark carved into the top corner of one end.
Goddess Aphrodite, what is that for?
The conqueror looked to the staff, then back to her.
Something Artemis asked me to leave here with you. She said you'll know who it belongs to, and when to give it to them.
She began to fade.
Good night, Xena. And yes, you chose wisely.
Then disappeared. The conqueror smiled broadly and took a very deep breath, her eyes glistening with joy. Turning to fully face the staff, but not wanting to touch it just yet.
I'd know.
She thought to herself as she placed both hands on the table and looked down onto the staff. To be continued.
Well, that concludes episode number 110 of XNU and several chapters of When Do You Know? By me, your host, Cass. I hope everyone's enjoying the show. As I haven't received recipes lately, if anybody has any recipes, I would greatly appreciate you sending them in to xena.uber@gmail.com so I can post them on the recipe corner. If you have any song snippets or suggestions for movies or books, send them in. If you have any announcements to make, wedding, birthdays, or just shouts out, or declarations of love, or even declarations of go jump in a lake and
take everything with you, go ahead, send them in at xena.uber@gmail.com. So don't forget to go ahead and go over to the blog, check out the links to the show, the notes, the songs, and while you're there, stop over to the left-hand corner and make a donation. So until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.